Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of smart, compassionate guests, you will come away with insights and tactics to help you find the agency and space to simplify and declutter your home, time, mental space, and more. Hello, friends. I thought today's conversation would be the perfect pairing for last week's episode with Deanna Yates on doable decluttering. This episode was originally number 34 in the catalog, aired all the way back in April of 2016. It was lovely to re-listen to this episode, not only for its slew of evergreen tips, but also because it helped me add a few small but doable home refresh ideas to my punch list. Paige Lewin is not only a dear friend, she is the person who made me realize that even if your place isn't perfect, air quotes warranted, you can make changes to make your space yours and find happiness where you are. The work that she did on my home was transformative in me finding joy in a very imperfect place, and she believes that it is imperative that whether your home is a rental or owned or temporary, the space needs to be a place of respite, energy, and invigoration. We first talk about framing context regarding the connection to home and our personal states, as well as dealing with overwhelm. And then we get to a ton of tactics such as first nest refresh steps, organizational tactics, small actions with big impact, where to score decor bargains, and more. Let's have a listen. Welcome, Paige.
Hello. I am delighted to be here, Christine.
I'm sort of curious about whether there was a pivotal moment for you where you realized the importance of one's nest, meaning I think there are a lot of people, and I certainly used to be in this camp, as you know, who would like their nest to be cozy and pretty and reflective of their personality, but doing something about it gets punted down the priority list because it seems maybe a little frivolous or it seems overwhelming, and I would just love for you to debunk that notion.
Sure. So I think it is so not frivolous. It's actually imperative that your home, whether it's a rental or an owned home, temporary situation, needs to be a place of respite and energy and invigoration, all of those things at the same time. You know, they call it a nest for a reason. there's a reason that it's called that. And I think for me, there was a pivotal moment. And I hope that other people don't experience this specific moment, but it for sure clarified it for me. I lost my dad in 2008. And, you know, as one does when they lose a parent, went through substantial, you know, grief process. Mm-hmm. And I felt like at the time, my home was not really what it needed to be, what it, you know, wasn't a place of respite for me. I didn't look around and love everything that was surrounding me. And I just felt like kind of off in my own home. And I just started making some changes and painting and decluttering and making things beautiful for me and for my family. And I realized how important just your environment can be in helping you feel more comfortable in whatever situation you're in. Whether you're, you know, sort of not satisfied at work, or you're going through a grief situation, or, you know, life is just like busy and hard, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And so if you have a place that makes you really happy, that can change everything. I've had a lot of clients who have been not really sort of happy in their town or their home, and they can't quite put their finger on it. And we do some work in their home, and suddenly everything changes about their outlook on where they are in life. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but it's 100% true.
It's not dramatic. I will share a post that I wrote about the work that you did with me and John a little while back, and I'll link that up in the notes. But, you know, it's funny when we moved, I like that you mentioned apartments too, like whether you're in a rental, because I think one thing is, like, if you feel like you're in transition, you think, oh, why bother doing anything? And I think we were definitely, when we moved in, one, we were a little like, you know, parents, we were tired and we just didn't do anything. And it took us like 3 to 4 years to hang pictures in our home, which is sort of ridiculous. And then it took us...
That's so common, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
and then what, how long did we live here? Like 6 years until we got your help and really actually made our home ours. You know, when I just have to speak to that dramatic piece or sounding dramatic piece. But after we did our work downstairs with you, instead of walking down the stairs every day and feeling like, ugh, I hate this place, it's so ugly, I walked down the stairs and I smiled. And think about all those smiles. Like every time I walk down the stairs, I've walked down the stairs for the last 3 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a whole lot of smiles. Way better than feeling lousy about your place every time you walk downstairs.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I also want to mention that I think I touched on the overwhelming factor with refreshing a home. And I think, you know, there's always so much to do. And I think it feels especially challenging if you aren't confident in your style, or your style differs from your partner's style. And, you know, that is definitely something you helped me and John with in a huge way. So I would love for you to just kind of speak to that. Is that something you see often with your clients as a struggling point?
Oh, so often. I mean, oftentimes, you know, two partners living in a home either completely disagree, or one partner is like, I don't care, whatever. The other person can drive everything. And I know in my heart to know that that is not really true. That person has to have some sort of opinions mm-hmm. about the place in which they live. Ultimately, you know, I think the overwhelm factor is really real. And I would always say, start with one thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean one room. I literally mean one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a blank space on the wall that needs a piece of art, or, you know, a corner that's totally cluttered that you need to sort of declutter before you move on. Just start with one thing. And even if you end with that one thing is better now.
Yeah, definitely.
But chances are that one thing is going to lead to another and another and another. You know, and as far as sort of differing opinions between partners in a home, you know, there are different approaches you can take. It's, you know, you can decide that one space can really be dedicated to one person's style and another space can be dedicated to another person's style and do it that way. You can, you know, bring someone in to help define and combine those styles, which is what, you know, we did, what I did with you and John. But I think the key is just starting with one thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp.
This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, check out StoryWorth. StoryWorth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, StoryWorth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Funny enough, I was just chatting with a neighbor who told me that her mom gifted copies of her StoryWorth album to immediate family members, and literally everyone was crying, in a good, loving way. I loved this example because while yes, StoryWorth is a great gift between a parent and kid, in this case, it was a gift from sister to sister that then was shared across generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. So, Paige, let's start with what you consider essential groundwork. Where do you recommend people start when it comes to refreshing their nest?
Number one is purging. and I don't mean purging the whole home. I just mean purging something small or cleaning something small. I have a lot of clients who bring me in to help and they have a lot of purging to do and they don't understand why they're so overwhelmed. And I say, you know, let's sort of clean out this room or clean out this area and then move on from there. Cause you can't, it's sort of like you can't see the forest through the trees kind of thing. So keep it really basic, like especially springtime, right? Go into a room, choose one room. Doesn't have to be the whole house. Choose one room and clean the windows. Just get them clean, get them shiny. In your kitchen, for example, in our kitchen, we have a counter that is, you know, gets filled with papers from school and things like that. Just one day, clear it all off. Clear off all the papers, clear off like your pencil cup, your phone, just get it completely clear. And then add the things back in that you need. And that's it. And get rid of the rest or file away the rest. Do something with it. Don't put it in a bag and set it aside, which I've been known to do. But you know, whether it's a counter, your refrigerator, you know, get off all those things off the refrigerator, put back only the things you need, counters, or one kitchen cabinet. Everybody has a kitchen cabinet that's completely filled with junk that they don't need anymore, chipped bowls or things that aren't, you know, sort of full sets, and not that you need full sets, but just get rid of the things that aren't bringing you joy that you pull out and you're like, this is so annoying. I have this chipped plate and I keep eating off of it. And it's, you know, someday I'm going to get short, you know, sort of pottery in my mouth or whatever. Just get rid of it. But keep it super simple, super small, choose one thing and work on it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we often talk about how the first step is to get rid of stuff because then there's less for you to organize. I was just talking to Laurel about this concept, like encouraging her to clean out her cabinet.
Yeah. And it can be really overwhelming for people. So, you know, like I said, just choose one thing first.
Yeah, I think that's so good. Okay, so once you've got, you know, a clean area or, you know, areas, if you've taken a few days, what are some of your favorite organizational steps for home? Especially, you know, there's so much stuff to manage when you have kids.
So, you know, I'm not really into like full on organization systems. I think that some really simple things can help with keeping a home organized. Hooks are like a complete godsend. Hooks on the back of a door, hooks near the door when you enter, where you enter and exit your house. Everybody needs hooks somewhere. So, and they're inexpensive. You can get totally utilitarian ones or really beautiful ones, but I suggest that everybody go out and get some hooks and put them somewhere that they're needed, where things pile up. Another one is designating one charging area in your house for all your devices. Keeping all those cords sort of in one spot and keeping all those devices in one spot. And hopefully everybody kind of, you know, can put them away for the night and go to sleep without devices next to their beds. I know that's really, really hard, and we struggle with that in our own home. But having a charging area, you know, reduces the whole issue of like, where's my charger and who had my charger last? Just keep it all in one area. And then another thing that we do a lot, we keep a basket or a bag, like a big tote bag, at the top or bottom of the stairs. We live in a home that has two floors. So if you do live in a home that has two floors, keeping a bag there and just filling it up at the end of the night with the stuff that needs to go upstairs or that needs to go downstairs, just so everything ends up kind of in the right space and the right, you know, the right floor. Those are a couple of easy organizational techniques that I recommend for clients pretty often.
The basket one is brilliant. I need to start doing that because we just make individual piles on the stairs, which means then there's a lot of piles on the stairs and it makes my OCD go crazy.
And some people don't pick up their piles.
Yes, some people do not. I'm not going to name anyone, but some people do not in our house. Okay, so, you know, one of the many things I love about your approach to design and refreshing is you really and truly believe in using what you have first. I mean, you know, when you worked with us, as you know, like we have not played or won Powerball. So we don't have unlimited resources. And it was really great to be, you know, working with that framework in mind. So I would love some of your top tips for using what you have, like looking at what you have in a new way, perhaps.
Sure. I mean, it can be as basic as literally moving a small accent piece of furniture from one room to another. A chair, a small table, you know, swapping two pieces of art from one place in the house to another, especially again, as we're talking about like refreshing your nest for spring and wanting to kind of see your home a little bit differently for the season. I would encourage listeners to think about that. Is there a piece of art that's in one place in the home that can be moved to another? Also, this is really, you know, sort of may seem silly, but everybody has cloth napkins and not everybody uses cloth napkins, but pretty much everybody's got them. And I would say, you know, take them out, start using them. You know, you can use them multiple times as you're not throwing out paper napkins all the time. They're really pretty. And if you already use them, you know, go out and pick up a few new ones from, you know, Target or Home Goods, or make some, which are very, very easy. You just take some yardage of fabric and you don't even have to have a sewing machine. There's this material you can use to create hems that's sticky with your iron, and that's it. And they're washable and everything. So
I'd say
start using your cloth napkins. And then everybody's got stuff that they're kind of saving for someday, like fancy china or really pretty soaps or, you know, fancy gold candlesticks or something like that. I'd say use them. Like, what are you waiting for? And chances are, if you have a party, you might forget that you even have them. So break them out, start using them. And if you're not going to use them, purge, get rid of them. But do, you know, use what you've got and just think about it in a different way. And it's amazing how much happiness you can sort of can be generated from just mixing things up a little bit.
Yeah. You now know, or are now friends with my dear blogging friend, Roxana, right? And
yes.
didn't you go into her house and basically do that, like a consult where you went in and moved some stuff around, and she was like, what?
Yeah, no, literally. So she had this table that she was using for her, you know, regular eating where everybody would gather. It wasn't like a fancy dining room. It was off her kitchen. And there was this sort of big empty space between her kitchen and her living room. And she always felt like, God, I don't know what to do with it. So I said, well, how about we move that table right there? It's not any farther away from the kitchen than the other space. And we moved it, I would say probably 5 feet. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. And it was like revolutionary mm-hmm. in that space. And she felt so good about it and so excited about it. And it just felt like a new room. And it really, awesome. I mean, and it was a new room and we, you know, spent no money. It took us 3 minutes to move it and reset everything. And mm-hmm. she got a new space. It was crazy.
That is crazy.
But sometimes it's hard to see that if you're, you know, if you're not sort of actively saying, how am I going to mix things up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the challenge, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I don't know what that is. I mean, I think that's part of your gift is the visioning piece. You know, I know we had a section in our home that was just, and we had tried, like, so, you know, we had tried putting some chairs in one direction and we had tried putting them in another. And then you would suggest this, you know, beautiful built-in. So there we were sort of investing a little money into changing that space. But all of a sudden it went to this, went from this wasted square footage to a place that people hang out all the time now. It's like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you just like added square footage to your, you know, to your place without spending a dime. Well, you did invest in built-ins, but it's not like you, you know, added an addition or
right.
something.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So cool. Okay. So I wanted to hear from you some of your favorite smaller acquisitions or smaller actions that you have found have a really big impact for your clients.
Sure. Sure. So one idea is I think a lot of people have trouble with the concept of art, what kind of art to buy. And, you know, if that's kind of stymieing you, I would say just put that aside and invest in a mirror. And mirrors can be incredibly inexpensive, actually, and available everywhere in every style, small, large, round, you know, linear, quatrefoil. There are a zillion different styles. And add a mirror to a wall across from a window or a door that has windows in it that will reflect some light. It adds a lot of beauty to a room and it fills a wall. And you know, you don't have to struggle over what kind of art do we like, or art can be so expensive. So just, you know, throw a mirror up there and then it's reflecting whatever else is in the room and the light from the window. I think another thing is, you know, adding things that are really beautiful, and I don't mean expensive, but I mean things that are really beautiful that when you look at them, it makes your heart beat a little faster. You know, whether it's a really, you know, set of really pretty placemats or a beautiful cutting board, pretty glasses, you know, a mug that makes you smile. It can be really basic, but something that brings you joy. Get something like that. You know, a cutting board, there's so many really beautiful cutting boards. You get one and leave it out on your counter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like art for your counter and it's utilitarian. So just adding really beautiful things that make your heart skip a beat a little bit. So you get more of those smiles that you were talking about earlier, yeah. Christine. You know, another really easy one is we all have a million photos that are stuck on our phone or in our computer. And there's some probably really incredible moments. We all know they're incredible in the moments because we're sharing them on Facebook and Instagram. So instead of just keeping them in the digital world, how about printing just one out and sticking it in a frame, or not even sticking it in a frame, printing one out and, you know, throwing it up on your wall with that washi tape or something, but just getting it off your phone to a place where you can see it. And it can bring you joy each day. And then I guess the last easy one, and this can be a little bit of an investment depending on the size of, say, your kitchen or the size of the piece that we're talking about, but changing out the knobs, the hardware, the handles in your kitchen or on just a single piece of furniture. There's some really, really beautiful decorative knobs, handles, things out there. And, you know, instead of just going with sort of the builder's model stainless steel button knob that all of us have, you can invest in something that shows a little bit more of your personality and can bring some color and excitement to a space. It can be a little expensive, like I said, depending on how many cabinets you have, but just pick one piece of furniture, for example, and switch it out on that.
I think I'm going to do that on a console of ours, because that this is such a small tweak, but one might think you don't notice knobs or handles, but whenever I go into your house, it immediately grabs my attention, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think, ooh, that's so pretty. So it's funny. It's like something you might not think of normally.
Right. It's the kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily look at it and go, wow, those really need some decorative knobs. But once you put them on, you're like, wow, those decorative knobs are awesome. Right?
All right. I'm putting on my to-do list today. Research decorative knobs. Okay. Those are awesome, awesome ideas.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
So we have been focusing on the inside of the house, but curb appeal matters too. As we know, this is actually something I struggle with. As you know, my condo is kind of characterless on the outside, and it kind of bums me out on approach. So I suspect I should do something about it. So this is maybe a little bit of a selfish question, but what are some of your top tips for refreshing the outside of your nest?
You know, I think outside, it comes down to kind of two things. One is keeping it clean, and one is keeping it colorful. Mm. So it's really about keeping it clean and colorful. You know, clean just meaning like that you try to get all those like dead leaves, and, you know, you're sort of thoughtful about what the space outside looks like, that things are raked, things are cleaned up, you know, the whole spring cleanup thing, if you have any semblance of a yard, even if it's just a couple of shrubs, just getting it a little cleaned out from the winter nastiness. And then, you know, painting your door a new color. It's such a minor investment of time and money. Mm-hmm. And I think people are really scared to do it because it seems like such a big thing, or they don't think to do it. But, you know, changing up your color is so easy. You could do it every season if you want, which is crazy, I know, but you literally could. It's such an easy change. It takes probably 2 hours max, mm-hmm. To do, you know, to buy the paint and paint on. Then, you know, getting a flowering potted plant, or, you know, taking it a step further and putting together a container, of a couple of different plants can add so much to your front, you know, front curb appeal, or back curb appeal. Like if you just want to kind of improve your back space too. Mm-hmm. And then buying a new doormat. I mean, doormats kind of get gross over the year and over the seasons. So mix it up. Don't, you know, don't just sort of suffer with your nasty old doormat. get a new one.
Adding to the to-do list, replace nasty doormat. I have some homework after this episode. It's awesome. Well, actually, that's the perfect segue to my next question, which is that I would venture to say that most people know about Home Goods and IKEA, but I would love if you have other favorite hidden gems for scoring decor bargains. Related, I'd love to hear whether you have something that falls in the category of most epic Craigslist find ever.
Okay. All right, cool. So I guess when I think of decor bargains, one of the things that I try to think about is where can you get things that traditionally can be quite expensive at a lower price? You know, so it's pretty easy to find, say, accessories or even small accent pieces at a good price, like you said, at Home Goods or IKEA or, you know, Target or any of those. But sometimes the bigger issue is finding the things that can be really expensive, like rugs or art. So one of my very favorite places actually for rugs, and they stock both vintage and new rugs, is a site called esalerugs.com. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like about them, they have, you know, great search tools, so you can narrow down pretty well what you want to look for. Plus you can browse. But it's free shipping and free returns, which is huge when it comes to, especially when it comes to ordering rugs, because rugs are very expensive to ship. So granted, you know, I know that certainly the free shipping and free returns are probably built into the price ultimately, but the prices are quite good. And, you know, certainly less expensive than most of what I've ever seen. So that's one of my favorite spots for rugs. The other, you know, thing that can be quite expensive is art. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite sites, we were talking before about getting photos off of your phone or off of your computer. And one of my favorite sites is for this is actually Paribo Press, which has a variety of sizes that you can print. They have a very large size, 36 by 48 engineering print, which comes to you. It's on very light paper. So it's not like it's a super, super, super heavy duty, durable thing. And so you can have a huge piece of art for not a lot of money. And it's your own photo.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So those are two of my favorite sort of, you know, bargain spots for things that could be more expensive.
That's awesome.
And then I would say, you know, like floor model sales are really good at, you know, just keep your eyes open for floor model sales at normal furniture stores. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And check sale areas, you know, the scratched and dented area. You know, the reality is a lot of the furniture that we have in our homes get scratched and dented pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we live, generally, I would say that our peers don't live in a world of like keeping things super pristine and keeping plastic on couches. This is real life. You know, one of my big things is, I believe everybody needs to have a home that incorporates the messiness and chaos of real life. Mm-hmm. Because I think it can mess with your head if you're trying to keep things museum quality all the time. So if it saves a little money by starting out with something that's a little bit scratched already, why not go for it? You know, so floor sales can be great for that. And then as far as the epic Craigslist, you know, I love Craigslist, and I do have my most epic one, which was, I think, probably 7 years ago. Yeah, probably about 7 years ago. I found a pair of mid-century chairs on Craigslist that were covered in the original avocado green tweed. the, you know, cushions were flattened to nothing. And I bought them for $40. for the pair, so $20 each. And I literally sat on them for 7 years, did nothing with them. I wasn't sure how I was going to upholster them. And it took me a really long time to decide how I was going to do it. And finally, this fall, I reupholstered them in this amazing black and white window pane buffalo check. And it's like amazing, you know? And when you add up what I spent on the upholstery and the original $40, it's the cost of like not even one chair that would look like that brand new.
Oh, yeah. So that's awesome. You know,
I would say that was my most epic Craigslist find.
That's very cool. That actually reminds me, you found a pair of mid-century dining chairs for me and like texted me and like, I'm putting these in my car, driving them over.
I did. I was sort of like, well, if they don't want them, I'll keep them.
you're like the best friend ever. It's so great. Not just because you do things like, you know, text, be my design text lifeline, but anyway. So my last question is, something I've learned is that home design is an evolving process. So I think it was about 2 years ago that you first created design boards for John and my home. And, you know, we still don't have it all done, but the improvement, as I mentioned, is crazy. And actually, in fact, I was rather horrified when you recently sent me some before pictures. I was like, oh God, that's really what it looked like. So even though your home will likely continue to evolve and be a work in process, what do you think is like an imperative step for everyone to take?
You know, I think you're right. It is a super evolving process. I mean, my house, my mother-in-law jokes about this all the time. She's like, every time I come over, your house looks different. And it's true. It's an evolution. And I think once you start to work on this, you know, you take baby steps, but it takes a long, long period of time. I think overall, the most important thing, the most imperative thing for people to remember and act on is to not be ashamed of their homes. Mm. And I think there's a lot of shame when it comes to your home. If people aren't feeling good about how their home looks or how their home feels. And I think we just like need to get rid of that, because the reality is this is where you live. You need to embrace it. You're going to make some changes and you need to not be ashamed of that, and invite the people that you love into your home. And you know, if they're real friends and they really love you, they're not going to think anything crazy about, you know, crazy bad about your home. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a huge party. Just start having people over for coffee, or, you know, have a couple of people over for drinks on a Friday night or whatever it is, but just start opening your home to other people. And I think that's really, really important, because it shows that, you know, you're sort of proud of where you live and you want to share it with other people.
I love that. That's so good. That's such a great, great idea to close on, or great second to last idea, because as I think you know, Paige, at the end of each episode, we close with what we call your next edit, which is a tangible, actionable step that listeners can carry forward and just slay. So I would love to hear what your next edit is in the refresh your nest zone.
So, you know, I am familiar with the your next edit concept. I think your next edit, and I'm directing this at you, Christine, your next edit,
my
along
to-do
with
list.
Everyone out there, your next edit should be choose the one thing that you have been ignoring or that drives you crazy and do something about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something in their home that either they've been ignoring or that drives them crazy. And like I said before, it doesn't have to be big. Maybe it's like a loose baluster on your stairway, which is those little spindles. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's, you know, a paint job on a wall that was left over from a previous owner. Just do something about it and don't be paralyzed by, well, I don't have the bigger, greater vision about what I want to do for this room or for this space or for my home. Just do something. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how that can start to get the wheels going. If there's a cluttered corner that drives you crazy, just deal with it. Take an hour and deal with it. So that would be my next edit. What's your next edit?
Well, no, I don't share your next edit when I have a guest on. It's all about you. But I will say, I will respond to that and say that I think it is brilliant advice and that it's never too late. So I think we've lived in our condo for, I don't know, 8 years, something like that. And as you know, I work at home and work many hours. And my office has always been this baby butter yellow from the previous owners. You know, a kid lived in it. And it just looked dingy. And it was the last priority because I needed to spruce up everywhere else. And finally, like a couple weekends ago, John, that sweet guy, he said I had bought paint and to paint it. And he said, why don't, you know, I'll hang with the kids. Why don't you get started on that first coat of paint? And so in like a few days, you know, because I had to do two coats plus an accent wall. It was very dramatic, as you know. I painted the office, which also involved decluttering some stuff, which is good. But it completely has transformed the space. And now I've been working in this space now for a few weeks in its new painted form. And I feel happier and more productive. You would have thought that I would have realized how important this was earlier. Right. But it had been just driving me crazy forever. And it took me so long to get to it. But my quality of life has been so improved as a result.
That's so good.
It's so good.
I love hearing that.
It's so good.
Friends, wasn't that wonderful? I hope you're feeling energized and excited about making some small tweaks to make your home a more loving space. You'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to resources and related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com. As ever, I would love to hear your thoughts and questions. Come say hello on Instagram or Facebook at edityourlifeshow or send an email to edityourlifeshow@gmail.com. I would also be grateful if you would drop Edit Your Life a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a pod-loving friend about the show. Thanks for listening.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.